take the point, 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 take the point. Oh my god. Okay, we gotta start this podcast because we can just include all that.
You know, the big trend in podcasts is like serialized ones, you know, like Serial or S-Town. We should do like a 12-episode Serial-style podcast. I'll lay in all the music tracks and we'll get interviews and it'll just be about like Hiawatha Boulevard. What's the deal? And we'll just go, each episode will be one stop on Hiawatha Boulevard. And the question will just be, what the fuck was up with that place? We start with the Yellow Store and we work our way down to Chief Stadium.
There was a guy who lived in Liverpool, but he worked for like the city of Syracuse, like cleaning out like, I don't know, like sewers and shit. But he like would like hang out at the poop plant and like clean it out. And he had photos of him pulling out all kinds of wild shit. He pulled out like a little alligator. He had a photo of him holding a little alligator in the bottom of the poop plant next to Carousel Mall, which sounds stupid unless you know us. And we're like, wow, that's really intriguing. Because we've driven over that literally millions of times. We're like, there's an alligator around here the whole time in upstate. So there's a Radiohead song called Alligators in New York Sewers, and it's literally true.
Yeah, they didn't know it was about upstate.
Upstate. Carousel. Alligators were very much attracted by all the leftovers from the food court. That Cajun chicken place no one goes to, they only eat the fucking samples. They gotta throw that shit out every few hours. Gators love that Cajun flavor. They came up from the south.
All right, you guys want to start?
Yeah.
All right, sure. Let's do
make
it.
Some chicken tacos after this. Let's do it,
folks. Surprise! We're here with a bonus surprise. Take the points off season podcast. Normally we do one of these in the off season. It's normally in like May. When we think, oh yeah, we had a podcast. I forgot about that. This time we're coming at you 1 month from our last episode. Very ambitious, thanks to Mr. Dan Partridge. So I'm Tom. I'm here with Dan and Ryan. I'm going to turn it over to Dan because Dan was the one who pushed for this podcast, and he's got a number of things he wants to talk about, from Tua to music to X-Files. We got a lot to talk about. To Herm Edwards, of course. We'll save Herm for a little later. Dan, how should we start?
Well, thank you, Tom. You know, there's just been so much that's happened in the last month. I don't think we had a choice than record this podcast. The national title game was so good for 2 years in a row. I felt like when we recorded the week one last year, it was weird that we hadn't recapped the national title game at all. After that amazing Clemson-Alabama game.
Yeah, we probably in future years should add a like day after the national championship game, but usually we're just so burnt out by that point.
Yeah, I know. But
we're not professionals, Dan.
I agree with that statement. So anyway, real quick. We're going to go all the way back to early January. National title game, Alabama against Georgia. Georgia comes out on fire. They're looking amazing. Alabama's offense just is not moving the ball. They look like they have zero chance. And, you know, all three of us and a few other friends were all kind of shooting text messages back and forth. And there's about 4 or 5 minutes to go in the first half. And all of a sudden, all of us are like, if Tua isn't going to come out and play the second half, then they're going to lose, you know? And I started looking on Twitter to see if anyone's talking about Tua, and no one's talking about Tua, and all of a sudden, here comes Tua running out of the freaking tunnel at halftime, taking the field for Alabama, leaning back for a national title. I mean, all year he was kind of like the unknown, amazing player that everyone who followed Alabama like really liked to talk about, all the beat writers and things like that. And the guy had all the high school accolades, and he broke all of Mariota's records and all that. But what we saw in the national title game was crazy, and Georgia was just, like, so close. They just hats off to them. Like, they were an unbelievable college football team with two freak running backs. You know, Roquan was all over the field. I mean, Ryan, God, you called him early the whole year. he was as advertised and then some for sure. I mean, just flying the ball everywhere, just a freak of nature. Hats off to Georgia, but Nick Saban, just when you think cannot be more of an amazing coach, goes, you know what? I'm going to make the change right now and roll the dice. And he brings out Tua, who just makes plays all over the field and just looks like he's going to be unstoppable next year, which he will have his ups and downs for sure. I mean, Alabama's not going to go undefeated, I don't think, but we'll talk about that, maybe later. But just what a great game. And hats off to Tua. Hats off to Saban. We inception Nick Saban by talking about it, and all year we talked about Tua, and we kind of dreamed it into reality, and I feel really proud about that, that like the crazy college football story that no one talked about, we actually did, and it's actually on record, which is so crazy, so hats off to us. I'm going to take some credit for this one. Tua, Saban, congrats. You're the national champs. Great year. Unbelievable college football this year, again.
Just it really was the whole year. Yeah, we need credit. We don't usually take credit, usually because we say a lot of things that turn out to be wrong. But this year was one of our best years. Well, it was our best year ever for predictions. And the best prediction we've ever made, Dan, was you saying that Tua should be the starter. And then I sort of piggybacked off that. And me and Ryan, we all piggybacked off that and said, Jalen Hurts is not finishing his career at Alabama. At the time, Alabama was an undefeated team. This is in November, I think. So that was a bold prediction, but we could see the writing on the wall. Jalen Hurts is too one-dimensional, and Tua is too much of a superstar. So something had to give, and it did. Ryan, anything you want to add?
No, I mean, you guys are hitting every point. I mean, he was fantastic, and we were saying it all year. We were saying we didn't think Alabama could win a national title without Tua. I mean, that's definitely on the podcast archives. So definitely hats off to us, and hats off to the season. Just not like Dan said, just an unbelievable, really exciting, fun college season. And I'm already super excited for next year.
Yeah, already.
So we're recording on the Monday after the Super Bowl, which should be a national holiday if I'm ever president. But I want to quickly talk about the Super Bowl. I'm going to tie this into college football. The Super Bowls that we remember as the great Super Bowls of all time, if you go back, a lot of them were kind of boring for half the game or sometimes even three quarters. I mean, some of those Giants-Patriots games were three quarters of kind of boring play and then just super exciting at the end. You know, the helmet catch game wasn't that great of a game except for the unbelievable dramatic ending. Yesterday's game was unbelievable throughout. One of the best Super Bowls start to finish I've ever seen. Last year's was great too. And I realized we've been talking all the time about how college is better than NFL. I think what happened the last 2 years that made these Super Bowls so excellent start to finish is that they were more like college games in that, yes. First off, the Eagles and the Patriots this year, that was a great game, but these are not amazing teams. Like, this is one of the weakest years for talent in any Super Bowl. And the sort of lack of talent and the, style of play, just slinging it around the field, was more like a college game. The refs actually reffed a clean game, which is like unprecedented in the last 2 years. That helped a lot. There were no huge stoppages or crazy overturned calls where everyone's like, what's going on? But to me, it was the college-esque style of play that's made the last two Super Bowls so great. So I hope that continues. Maybe the NFL will actually have a chance. Although, Dan, you say it's going to be gone in 10 years, so who knows?
I'm thinking more like 25 or 30, but yeah, eventually.
All right, so I also want to give credit to Doug Peterson, because how many times do we come on here and talk about it, and you can say the same thing about the college championship game? These teams play Nick Saban, they play Bill Belichick, they play great teams, they get an early lead, and then they go prevent defense and, 11 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Georgia did this. They ran the ball up the middle over and over. Doug Peterson did not take his foot off the gas 1 second. He was doing trick plays. He was going for it with 2 minutes left in the game. He was throwing, trying to get a first down and ice the game. That's what we talk about on this podcast all the time. It was so, so great to see that. And I hope other coaches in NFL and college, including any future Buffalo Bills coach, I hope they all watch that tape and realize this is the way you beat the Patriots. This is the way you beat Alabama or any other great dynasty. Never take your foot off the gas.
I agree, Tom. Well said.
Congrats. Congrats to 2017 guest Mike Roberts and all other Philadelphia fans.
Yes, absolutely.
Congrats to Frank Reich.
That's right. He got one.
Peterson gets all the credit because he calls the plays, but the actual offensive coordinator is Frank Reich. Yes, he got one, finally.
Absolutely.
All right, Dan, let's get into some of the fun stuff that we did this podcast for. Great. Let's start with something. What do you want?
All right, I want off-season changes for 200, Alex. We're going to start here with the Georgia. You know what? Fuck that. Congratulations to Mr. New Mexico State offensive coordinator. I don't know your name, but you just moved on up to the extreme big house. If you remember when you were a kid, there was a little game called Chutes and Ladders, and if you landed on the right fucking number, you slid all the way to the top. He was at New Mexico State as offensive coordinator. Next year, he's with Nick Saban in Alabama calling the plays. So, excellent upward movement on his career, buddy. Funny, we talk about the New Mexico schools all the time, and now the freaking OC is going to Alabama. So, I can't wait to look out for that little side plot all next year.
They were the worst team ever, and now they were mediocre. So level of coaching to get them to that spot is as good as winning a championship with an SEC school.
Thank you, Tom. Well said. They must have had some outstanding coaching. They haven't been to a bowl game in 50 years, and that happened. And they won their bowl game this year, so really good coaching. All right, topic two, the Georgia quarterback situation. At least Eason transferred to Washington, right? Washington?
Yeah, he's going to Washington. Correct. As predicted by Mr. Ryan Spillett on this podcast.
Yes. again, he was all over Georgia this year. Anything you have to say about Georgia's right. If you have any NFL draft predictions, I can wager on where Roquan's going, any of this, let me know, because apparently you locked in on Georgia this year. You read the Phil Still Georgia article 10 times and just focused on them.
I did.
That's funny. All right. Quick other offseason news. Jimbo Fisher to A&M. What do you guys think? Do you think they can win a title at A&M with Jimbo? Yes or no?
Ryan?
No.
Quick. Think about it. Yes or no?
My initial response is no. This is a downgrade for him in terms of recruiting, etc. But I wouldn't rule it out completely.
I think you nailed it right there, Tom, with the recruiting. I think Florida State, you're in the state of Florida. It gives you a lot of chances. Those guys, can go there and still be home in a couple hours. A&M, you're recruiting against LSU and UT and each Oklahoma school and TCU, all in that same circle. That's a lot of recruiting, kind of going back and forth for just a small area. So I think you're right on that. All right, next topic. Chip Kelly, you at UCLA, we talked about that a little bit during the regular season. He hasn't really made a big splash in any transfer news or anything. But I still think...
Oh, no, he did.
Oh, he did? What do you got?
Yeah, he got his quarterback.
Oh.
Yeah. He got Jake Browning's backup from Washington is a fifth-year senior graduate transfer. Apparently, when Chris Peterson got there, he no longer fit the style of the offense because he's more of a running type quarterback, and Peterson doesn't need a running quarterback. He needs an accurate pocket passer. So that's why he's sat at the bench. So he's going to UCLA and he's automatically eligible as a graduate transfer.
Interesting.
So not a huge splash, not a big name, but he losing Rosen and getting in there late, he didn't have a lot of options. So, that's at least something. And then, obviously Peterson replaces him with Eason, who's going to sit out this year for Browning's senior year and then come in and be the guy. So it's definitely all coming around full circle.
Okay, I like that. Anything to add, Tom?
Nope. Temper your expectations. It's not going to be like the prime years of Oregon, not to start.
Okay.
It'll take some time. It'll take some time, UCLA fans.
All right, and basically I want to talk about two more teams. First, we're going to talk about our Texas Longhorns. They've had an outstanding last couple months, by the way. First of all, playing in their postseason bowl game against Missouri, they manhandled Missouri pretty badly. Very physical. They played unlike a normal Big 12 team. They played more like an SEC team, which is important, going forward for playoffs and, that kind of, hopeful future for the program. Second of all, recruiting. Amazing job. For the first time ever in the state of Texas, they landed the top five players in the state of Texas. That's never happened ever, which is crazy. Ones always went to Oklahoma or TCU or whatever, Baylor or SMU back in the day. They landed all five, which is crazy. The second recruiting tidbit is, what was it? Oh, Ryan, you know what it is.
Secondary.
Six guys in the secondary, correct. They got six of the top 25 corners in the ESPN 100 or whatever, which is crazy, which also breaks the record. The record was actually five set by Florida about 10 years ago, which turned out pretty well. If you remember, a bunch of them ended up in the NFL.
Is that the Joe Hayden, Janoris Jenkins?
It was 2010, so it wasn't the Tebow championship. It was just after that.
But still, all those guys, like Will Demps or something like that, or I don't know. Those
it was a
guys,
good crop.
They're all talented. Anyway.
That was the Vernon Hargraves and those guys.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, it's Florida, whatever. So moral story is they're really recruiting well. Like, there's this really good, positive vibe at Texas. A lot of good, Instagram stuff. These kids sign in. Herman really looks like he could be the real deal there. So look out for Texas. They're 22-1 to win a national title, which I think is way too low. I don't think you should ever wager on them at 22-1 to ship the whole thing. But they do have a very favorable schedule. Ryan and I looked at it the other day. I think they play home games against Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and TCU, if I'm correct. It looks like they can play the whole month of November undefeated. They play some pretty lackluster competitions like Iowa State, Kansas State, Kansas, and I think Texas Tech are the four teams, something like that. So moral story, a lot of incoming talent. Herman knows what he's doing. Easy schedule next year. Coaches like to make that leap in year two. The over-under on wins isn't out for Texas, but I can tell you over Texas wins will be probably my favorite wager. And get it at a good number going forward. What do you guys think about the Horns?
Yeah, I mean, you got to also factor in Baker Mayfield gone, Mason yep. Rudolph gone, TCU, Trill. Kenny Trill gone. So each of those teams is starting over at the QB position. They're going to be a little weaker. Toughest competition might be your man, Ryan, out in Morgantown.
Yeah, they're all coming back.
They're going to score a lot of points. Huge West Virginia overs next year. I mean, they're going to hammer some people, and especially early.
Yeah, so I like Texas and West Virginia to step up a little bit in the Big 12 for sure.
I might lean towards West Virginia as the Big 12 champion. I think you could probably get some super tasty odds on that.
We'll find out.
Yeah, I think Oklahoma still is always going to be the favorite. We'll see how they play, but if you're looking for somebody to beat them, I think those are the two.
Absolutely.
I like it. Our horns are on the rise. I still say for a championship, you're looking like 2019, 2020. That's our year.
I would love that. We are going to look at the odds to win the national title here soon, but, Texas has the ninth highest odds to win the national title, which speaks pretty highly of how far they've come in a couple of years. So anyway, and obviously, all right, last thing we got to talk about, Arizona hiring Kevin Sumlin and actually throwing it in Arizona State's face that they somehow did not get Sumlin. They get Herm Edwards. And now Khalil Tate gets Kevin Sumlin as his coach. And I don't know if you follow Khalil Tate on Twitter or Instagram, but you should. All he's doing is throwing long passes. And it's actually really helpful being in the state of Arizona, so we see some local press conferences and stuff. And I watched the Kevin Sumlin intro press conference, and he was like, you know, I've had a chance to meet with the players and told them, you know, everything's going to be fine with the offense. Nothing's really going to change that much, except I do plan to actually pass more, you know, and like – that's huge because we knew that Khalil Tate can run, right? And he was unstoppable at that last year. But he's super talented and he has an arm. I just don't think in Rich Rod's offense it was, you know, shown off enough. So his Heisman stock will go up. Arizona's going to be a super, super fun team to watch next year with Sumlin and that energy and Khalil Tate. So Pac-12 late night next year, Tom, you might need to take a nap during the freaking like Big 12 games or something. Like get up. Spend time with the family, then take a nap as soon as Iowa kicks off. Just go right in the bedroom for 3 hours. And then wake up, cook dinner, you know, be a good man, watch some cartoons. Skip the 8 o'clock ABC game with fucking Wisconsin. Nobody cares about that. And then save your time for Arizona starting at 10:45. Arizona, home against Mike Leach. You're going to be like, oh, right, I got over 77.5. It's going to be easy.
Well, you're saying skip Michigan State, Wisconsin, the 7:30 Big Ten game?
Oh,
they had to move it up for all the Big Ten elderly fans. They had to move it up to a 7:30 start. That sounds good on paper, Dan.
It's East Coast now.
It's horrible.
It all sounds good. I think you perhaps are not comprehending how parenting works.
Well, yes, I do. You got to just make a special arrangement once in a while. So you need to do good things to build up a credit, I believe. And yeah, cash in that credit for a Khalil Tate November performance.
All right. I'll start saving up chips.
There you go. It's smart. And
what's
and
next?
I think that's it. I think now we're on to talking about odds to win the national title. I guess we can start there.
If well, Dan, hang on a second. While you're pulling that up, we can't have a discussion about the state of Arizona football without really – let's just do it. Let's go,
well,
guys.
We're going to talk about Herm, but we could do it now.
I can't contain it. I can't wait any longer. Ryan, we're on the topic. We got to dive in.
You play to win the pod.
Do it.
GM Herm Edwards – is going to be such an epic disaster and disgrace. It's hilarious. He is atrocious. He came in, the first thing he said is like, don't worry, folks. I like these coordinators. I'm going to keep them. But he didn't actually ask them. Because when it came to them, they're like, fuck this guy. We got to go.
We're out.
And they both left. And they didn't leave for, like, major, really, promotions. They just wanted to get the hell out of that tornado. He is going to absolutely get embarrassed by Khalil Tate and by Chip Kelly and by Mike Leach and those offenses that are just way beyond his grasp. He's never watched nothing but NFL for, like, what? 30 years?
Mm-hmm.
30. 87. Yeah, 31.
Okay. So 30 years he's only watched NFL. Hasn't kept up with any of the trends. Didn't know that Brody Croyle was a shit quarterback. Like, that's how bad he was at watching college. That when he was a head coach, he couldn't even figure out that guy sucked. Like, who are the other idiots that he had? He had a bunch of idiots.
That's a tell.
So, yeah, that is an absolute tell.
Heward, Brock Heward.
Oh, God, yeah, that clown.
Horrible.
Yeah, so it's just, you know, living right down the street from ASU, I was really looking forward to them getting Sumlin and getting this program turned around because I do have some connections and I do – have the opportunity to get free tickets if I want them. I can't watch this dumpster fire.
Nope.
Now I got to start making connections down to Tucson. It's like 2-3 hour drive. I have to go see Khalil Tate, but it's a pain in the ass. It's kind of annoying. So, oh, of course I'm going to do it.
It's a once in a lifetime type player for the state.
He's a baller.
If you would like, we're just going to run through the ASU schedule next year and come up with their wins or losses.
Yep.
For all the losers.
Okay.
I'll call Snap it out. Or yeah, Ryan, you can call it out.
Both of us.
Okay, we'll both call it out simultaneously.
All right.
Week one, home against the UTSA Roadrunners.
Win.
2-point win.
I know, it's not that good.
15-13.
UTSA lost their best player to the NFL draft. That's the only reason I'm saying that.
1-0. Week two, home against Michigan State.
Loss.
Yeah, correct. Week three, at San Diego State.
Loss.
Correct. Week four, at Washington.
Loss.
Correct. Week five, at Oregon State.
Win.
That's a push,
Sorry. Home against Oregon State.
All right, I'll give them a win.
Yeah, and then we'll be nice.
Overtime.
At Colorado.
Loss.
I don't know. How's Colorado? I'm going to give them that one.
That one's close. I'm going to say loss. So, all right, that's through six games. We got them at 2-4. Okay, now they're at a bye.
The rest are losses. I can call them now.
Yep, these are really hard. Home against Stanford.
Yep.
Loss.
At USC.
Yep.
Loss.
Home against Utah.
Yep.
Loss.
Home against UCLA.
Yep.
Loss.
At Oregon.
Yep.
Loss.
At Arizona.
Loss. Oh, yeah.
Eligible for the Pac-12 title game on Friday, November 30th.
Well, they won't lose that one.
No, they won't. We're looking at like a 2-4 win team here in Tempe.
I'm giving them three. I'm going to give them that Colorado game.
Yeah, it's not good. Meanwhile, Arizona's schedule, real quick. Here are their road games next year. Road games. At Houston, at Oregon State, at Utah, at UCLA, at Washington State.
Pretty good considering the conference. Pretty good. Mostly winnable.
Pretty good. They might be favored in just about every game.
Probably every game but Utah.
Oh, that's interesting. Home against Oregon. Home against USC. Home against BYU. Home against Colorado. Home against Arizona State. Home against Cal. Yeah, Arizona's schedule is really easy.
There's some tough ones. Yeah, I mean, if they don't go 9-3, I think that's a disappointing season.
No,
but they don't play no Washington, no Stanford.
No Washington, no Stanford.
That's big.
I'm calling this right now. We're gonna have inverse seasons: 9-3 Arizona, 3-9 Arizona State.
I think you're right.
Sounds about right. Hang on, real quick, while we're talking Pac-12, and I want to just mention something real quick. In doing some little bit of mock draft research. There's this guy from Stanford, defensive lineman. It's just not a guy you pay a lot of attention to during the season, and those things don't really stand out very often. But this guy plays on the defensive line, mostly at nose tackle, but he plays all across the line. He had 105 tackles.
Who are we talking about?
Phillips. Henry Phillips or something like that.
No. See, bedtime.
Exactly, though. Like, nobody – but if there is, like, a clowny type of freak defensive lineman, a Gerald McCoy, a Sue, everyone kind of knows about it. A defensive tackle with 105 – like, that's just – it's absurd. Like, that's unheard of. So just wanted to make a mention of that. That guy, keep an eye on him in the draft because – he was, like, super undersized, playing, like, at, like, 290 on the nose tackle at Stanford, who has like 400 guys, pound guys everywhere. And he was that good. So keep an eye on that guy. Phillips is his last name, from Stanford, in the draft. I think he's going to be really good.
Sounds good.
Yeah, that's the kind of player Stanford produces. They got a lot of Zach Ertzes. Not too many McCaffrey. They got a few McCaffreys and a lot of Zach Ertzes.
Yeah, but that was really kind of a shocking. I'm like looking through and I'm like, 105 D tackle? What? So, anyways, Pac-12 after dark. Good stuff.
Yeah, I'd like to see the Pac-12. I'd like to see them back in the playoff this year. Somebody.
We'll see. Arizona.
We'll see.
USC, we'll see. UCLA, Arizona, Oregon. They've got at least, you know, 5 or 6 teams that should be in the general mix, you know, in the 20, 25 team mix.
Absolutely.
We'll see. We'll see.
All right, we got 3 things left to talk about. We got odds to win the title next year, Heisman odds, and Week 1 odds. Let's start with odds to win the title. Alabama +250. Do not bet that. That's a sucker's bet. Clemson +650. Interesting. All those returning players on defense. I'm just going to call these out. You got anything to say about these teams? Just say whatever.
No, I'd like to hear more about Alabama as a sucker's bet. You think they're not going to win, or you think that value is just too low?
I think the value is too low. I think you just have to wager them on like the money line, you know, playing the SEC title game and the first round of the playoffs. And I think, and then again in the national title game, I think he'll get better odds than the +250. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, exactly.
I agree with you. If your reasoning is value, I still think they're the favorite to win it.
Yeah, absolutely. Clemson's interesting. There's already a little bit of the quarterback controversy. They got some superstar in there, and Kelly Bryant, you know, might have a little Jalen Hurts syndrome and not score enough points. We'll see. As the same odds as Clemson, you got Georgia +650. You know, Georgia was a great pick last year for people to win it all at, I think, 40-1. You know, I think if you have a chance to take any, you know, historic type SEC team at high odds, I think it's smart because, you know, they just have amazing athletes, as you saw with Florida, with Georgia. Just like Auburn, just like Alabama, those teams can win it all at any time. You know, LSU, you know, even Mississippi State was ranked number 1 a couple years ago. So I think for futures bets, it's smart to kind of look at long shot SEC teams or teams from the South that are physical. You know, I mean, look at who's won the national title. It's Clemson, Alabama, yada, 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 yada.
So, Dan, is this your long segue into picking the Tennessee Volunteers at 300-1?
Close. We will go through this, though, Tom. Georgia +650, Ohio State +750. You know, the quarterback's the unknown. I'm sure they got 3 guys that are capable, et cetera. Here's an interesting one, thanks to some shady NCAA business, Michigan at 10-1. Thanks to the fact that they got themselves like a 23-year-old new starting quarterback transfer.
I saw, yeah, Shea Patterson from Mississippi, from Ole Miss, who obviously for clear reasons had to get out of there. I've seen a lot of these preseason polls, you know, by, you know, Athlon or whatever, the ones that don't really mean anything. One of them I saw Michigan at number 5.
I mean that's what they're saying here. They have the fifth best odds. It makes no sense to me.
No, it doesn't. There's no reason. I mean, they have to improve from last year, but there's no reason to put them that high. I don't like that one. As the Big Ten representative on this podcast, I think those Ohio State odds are much better than those Michigan odds. Ohio State's young quarterback is supposed to be really good. He played for a little bit while JT Barrett was injured this year, and he looked, you know, every bit as capable as JT Barrett, at least, which, considering he's only a freshman, I think is pretty good. I think they're a legitimate contender.
Okay. Absolutely. Moving down the list next, Penn State 12-1. I feel like them and Michigan should be flipped. I think Penn State should be 10-1. Michigan should be more like 20-25-1, to be honest with you. But whatever. I think that's about right for Penn State.
I think on paper, Penn State still is among the elite teams, but something just feels like the last couple years was kind of their window and they kind of just missed their chance at the title game. You know, I really feel like 2 years ago and then even this past season, like that was really their chance to get in that playoff and they just missed out both times. So I'm not feeling it this year, although when we get to Heisman, I have a sleeper pick.
Okay, great.
It's Trace McSorley. Okay. Obviously, you're going to know what it is.
Okay, great. We'll get to that in about 5 minutes. Oklahoma 20-1, I think, is a pretty huge sucker bet. If they didn't win it this year with Mayfield, they're not winning it next year at 20-1. Then again, Peyton Manning did leave and T. Martin did win it. That was 20 years ago, so maybe, who knows. Next is Auburn at 20-1, which I love. That's one of my favorite ones so far on the board. They have the coach locked up. They have Jared Stidham back. They have a stable of great athletes. Running backs are just, I mean, the freaking running backs are always good. Doesn't matter who they are. And they'll be well coached and they'll be physical on defense and yada, yada. So 20-1, I think, is pretty good for Auburn. That's probably my favorite one so far. What do you guys think? No, yes. Yes, but they probably still won't win it. Yeah, I know.
They got to work on consistency. They have every bit as much talent as any of those other teams.
I know, it's tough.
Coaching, but, it's all in the coaching.
It's a really interesting bet for value because basically don't they open with Clemson week one again?
I think so.
Yeah, so, you know, basically if you're betting them 20-1, you're basically saying like
they're going to win.
They're going to beat Clemson week one because otherwise just wait.
Not necessarily. As we saw this year, when they played Georgia, the winner of that game was going to get into the playoff. A two-loss Auburn would have got in if they won the SEC.
I understand, but listen.
So like, Clemson game is kind of overcomeable.
No, it's not. It is. That's what I'm saying. So what I'm saying is if you really like – if you want to wait, you wait till after week one.
If they lose
to Clemson, it's going to jump to like 35-1, 32-1 with a loss week one, and then you hammer it then if you think they're that good. So I'm just saying, like, I think that value is really interesting because, you know, if you think they're going to win week one, you bet them now. If you think they might lose but still have a chance to recover and get into title contention, you wait and bet them week two when they're, like, 35-1.
All right. Okay. I shouldn't have jumped in there. You're right.
That's okay. Live podcast. This happens. Moving forward, I'm just going to go through some teams now, kind of rapid fire. If you like something, stop me. Texas Longhorns 22-1, Miami 25-1.
Wisconsin. That's interesting.
Yeah, Ricked.
I hate Ricked, but one of the two semifinal games is the Orange Bowl this year, so it's worth keeping an eye on Miami and looking at their schedule because every time Miami's ever won a national title in their history, the title game was in the Orange Bowl. So, you know, for them, it's like a huge incentive to have like a monster season because they would get a home game in the playoff. So moving on.
Wisconsin 25-1. JTT is good, but I don't ever see them getting it done all the way.
I can see them getting into the playoff in a year of turnover in the Big Ten when they've got the most consistency in the Big Ten and the weak Big Ten West. They should be able to walk into the championship game again. So once they get into the playoff, do I see them beating a team like Auburn or Alabama? That's tough for me to imagine, but you know, I think they've got a good chance of being in that, you know, top six or seven right at the end of the season, which makes them at least worth considering.
They don't have like anybody besides the tight end Fumagalli or whatever going pro. Like Everyone's coming back for them. So it's an interesting team to look at because
Taylor's coming back.
Chances are they're going to make the Big Ten title game. Like that's like an almost a lock, like it was last year. So you're going to get really good value because basically they're going to have a 50-50 shot of winning that game and getting in the playoff. And then from there you can hedge and get creative.
Yeah, okay, I totally agree with that. And Taylor is the second Heisman odds, right behind Khalil, right, or Tua. So he's like 9-1, so everyone's assuming he's going to have another monster season.
We will get to that momentarily. Okay, LSU 25-1. I don't believe in Eddie O.
On paper, yes, but we've been here before every other year for the last, what, 15 years? 10 years?
Can't do it. No. Michigan State 25-1. No. Washington 28-1. I don't think so.
No.
Florida State 33-1. Notre Dame 33-1.
Well, Florida State, hang on. Florida State, I don't think they'll win the title, but they should be improved. A lot of the problems last year were related to two things, the QB injury and the players had just turned on Jimbo Fisher. And so both of those have been solved. And so I expect them to compete again with Clemson and be back near the top of the ACC.
There you go.
So much like Wisconsin, if you pick them, I think the chances of them just totally flaming out are pretty low.
I think that's fair, and they'll be in the ACC title game, right? Notre Dame 33-1. We don't believe in Brian Kelly. Stanford 33-1. They'll have a lot back.
That's interesting to me.
Yeah, that's okay. Bryce Love coming back.
Yeah, they have a chance to win the Pac-12.
When was the last time Stanford went like three straight years without being in the title discussion?
Never.
Well, like pre Harbaugh.
10, 12 years.
Yeah.
A&M, no. USC 33-1, no. Virginia Tech 33-1, no. West Virginia 33-1.
I like Va Tech in West Virginia, Dan. I do. Okay. I do.
I don't think they can win titles, though. I mean, I think West Virginia can win the Big 12, but I don't think Virginia Tech can get it done yet. Now, here's the one I do like. Florida, 55-1. That one I do like because they'll have the talent, just like Georgia last year. Now, they don't have Kirby Smart, but they do have new coaching. So
first-year we'll coach, see. Though, that's what throws me off. Give him a couple years.
We'll see. But, you know, it's a long shot, much just like Georgia last year. Oregon, 50-1. TCU, 50-1.
Arizona. Ooh, that's tasty.
Yep. Yeah. Arizona, 100-1.
That's interesting.
That will get, if you're talking about long odds.
Just for hedging purposes alone. If we could just get there for the national title game, it's hedge time, or at least the playoff. Other long shots of note, Oklahoma State 100-1. Arizona State 500-1. Not
comfortable. Too high. I mean, too low. Too good.
Correct.
Yeah, everyone.
Dan, I'm rethinking this. I kind of like as your two long shot bets, Arizona and Florida. I'm thinking new coach, but these are established coaches who are kind of in the general region. I mean, not quite as much for Sumlin, but I think Mullen will have an easier transition to Florida than most coaches would to a new school.
And he should play in the SEC title game. I mean, much like Wisconsin coasting the Big Ten, Florida should be able to get there.
You have to beat Georgia.
I know, but I mean, it's not as bad as the other side, is what I'm trying to say.
For sure.
Go ahead, Ryan.
Sure.
Speaking of Tom, I'm glad you brought this up because I didn't mention this when Dan was giving his speech on Sumlin. You are correct. He is in a little bit of a different region recruiting-wise. However, Arizona is not really flush with recruits. This is not a recruiting hotbed. However, over the last 10 years, there have been two recruits that have come from the state of Arizona that have been unanimous five-star top three in their position in the last 10 years. Sumlin got them both, Kyle Allen and Christian Kirk. Who are both going to be going to the NFL this year. So just saying, he does have a pretty good handle on Arizona because we don't have a lot of top recruits, but the few we get have all gone to Kevin Sumlin. So just kind of throwing that out there. He's it's just a little extra bonus for him.
Those guys are both from Scottsdale, right?
Correct. Yeah.
So maybe you're going to see Sumlin hanging out in your neck of the woods.
Correct. He'll definitely be at some high school games up here. And I'll definitely keep an eye on that. And if I get a selfie, we're putting it on the Take the Points website.
Get him on the show. Give him a card. Give him a t-shirt.
Yeah. So, I mean, to pretty much wrap that up, I like Auburn, Florida, and Arizona as my long shots, I think. Anything over 20-1. You know, whatever. We'll see. Maybe we'll throw a couple U.S. dollars on them later this year. All right, let's move on to Heisman Trophy winner. We'll do this much quicker. We got four guys who are all lumped together at between 6 and 7 to 1. We got J.K. Dobbins, Ohio State. Jonathan Taylor Thomas, Wisconsin. Mr. Tua himself, and Bryce Love. So you got those four and all basically 6 or 7 to 1. That's your first tier. Out of those four, who do you guys take as your winner?
Love.
Tua. Love will finish second, as all Stanford players do.
I know. It's totally ridiculous.
Those four, I think I like him the best of those four.
He's the most proven. I'm taking a gamble on Tua. I think he's got the most upside.
I'm going to agree with Ryan and take Love, too. I think everyone's aware of the Stanford runner-up thing, and they're going to try to break that just to shut everybody up. So I think he's the favorite there. Now, after that, it drops a lot. Jake Fromm, Georgia, 12-1. Khalil Tate, 14-1. Zang. We all will be betting that. No excuses.
100%.
I need to see confirmation, evidence, a screenshot, or a bet slip from everybody I know. Like, I'm not going to speak to you after September 1st unless I see a bet slip. All right. Second, or after that, we got Jared Stidham, 16-1. Will Greer, 16-1.
Interesting.
Justin Herbert, Oregon, 18-1. Kelly Bryant, Clemson, 18-1. Trace McSorley, 20-1, Penn State. Tom, do you have any thoughts on that?
I do have some thoughts, Dan.
Oh, you do? Okay.
So there's three guys I'm going to bet for Heisman this year. One is Tua. And number two is Khalil Tate. The reason I'm going to bet those guys is because while guys like Love have shown us more and we've seen, and J.K. Dobbins also, we kind of know what we're getting with them. I feel like the two guys who just have unbelievable upside and who could just have historic type seasons would be those two. The one I like with long odds or longer odds is McSorley. And the reason is no more Saquon Barkley. Joe Moorhead's gone, but the guy they're bringing in is part of the system. They're going to run a similar type of system. And I think they'll have that kind of Joe Moorhead offense 1 year holdover, like a lot of teams do when a coach leaves. And Penn State's got some decent running backs, but nobody remotely close to Saquon Barkley. So who are they going to lean on for this year? You know, they're going to have the high power offense. They're still going to score a lot of points. Trace McSorley's going to be the guy who, he's going to throw a lot. He's going to have expanded role throwing, expanded role running. I'm sure he's going to have to pick up the slack for a young group of receivers and no Saquon. So I think he gets some big, big numbers early while the other guys develop. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see him sort of alone in the discussion by, like, you know, week four, week six. You know, whether he can hold on while these other guys make a push, we'll see. But I like it.
Okay, there you go.
I still think they lose, like, you know, 2-3 games, but I think he gets big numbers.
All right. Mackenzie Milton, quarterback, UCF, 25-1. Nope. Jake Browning, 25-1. Rodney Anderson, running back, Oklahoma, 25-1. Ryan Finley, quarterback, NC State, 25-1. Drew Locke, 25-1. Brandon Wimbush, Notre Dame, 35-1. DeAndre Swift, 35-1. Nick Fitzgerald, Mississippi State, 35-1. I do like that a little bit. I forgot to mention, I like Mississippi State also at 100-1 to win the national title as well. They got the number one JUCO wide receiver in the country, and their top two recruits were also wide receivers. So Fitzgerald's going to have three new wide receivers to throw to. You know, they'll be physical. They might be pissed at Mullen left. It's a good story with Fitzgerald coming back. I don't know. It's 100-1. Come on. Anyway, moving on. Dwayne Haskins, quarterback, Ohio State, 35-1. David Stills, West Virginia wide receiver, 55-1. And now here are the two that I like, and I'm going to tell you why I like them together. Ed Oliver, defensive lineman, Houston, 66-1, and Nick Bosa, D lineman, Ohio State, 66-1. I think what you do is you wager both defensive guys and hope this is a weird fucking year. And they decide to give it to a defensive guy because Ed Oliver is going to have like 24 sacks as like a nose tackle, which is going to be insane. And Nick Bosa is going to get all the recognition. And if he makes some superstar play against Michigan, makes a pick six, he's going to get it just for that. So, and it's 66-1. So, of this list, long shots, Ed Oliver, Nick Bosa. And besides that, I don't need anyone else except for Khalil Tate. 14-1 is playing for me, and that will be a very large one for me because he will have the Lamar Jackson numbers going into November for sure with that piece of shit schedule. All those home games against garbage teams, bad defenses, Sumlin, Khalil Tate, 14-1 is the pick for sure.
And he's new to most of America, so there's going to be that kind of like, you know, romantic feeling that everybody gets with the new player, like they did with Lamar a couple years ago. And with someone like Bryce Love, they're judged against last year. So it's like, oh, Bryce Love had 1 yard less than he did last year. Terrible season. Don't even invite him to New York.
No good. So I think that wraps up the Heisman preview. And now we're going to give you week one lines real quick.
We're getting serious on this podcast, getting deep. Dan, are we going to do 10 minutes at the end about the great locations of Hiawatha Boulevard in Syracuse?
Yeah, absolutely.
We're going to have to end with some kind of comedy.
Of course. But this is a college football podcast, Tom, and we need to get this on record for any degenerates out there who are like, man, is there any new college football stuff out there? Yeah, we're going to talk week one lines right now. I'm going to rip through all of them without talking about any of them, and just think about what you want to talk about afterwards. Okay, ready? Here we go. Alabama minus 30 against Louisville in Orlando. Auburn minus 4 against Washington in Atlanta. West Virginia minus 8 against Tennessee in Charlotte. Texas minus 10 at Maryland. Miami minus 1 against LSU. Bless you, Ryan. Miami minus 1 against LSU at the Jerry Dome. Michigan at Notre Dame. Notre Dame's minus 2. BYU was horrible last year. At Arizona, minus 7.5. FAU in Lane Kiffin, who's been on fire, is probably the reason we're having the podcast. At Oklahoma, and they're getting 21 points. UNC at Cal, minus 4. Texas Tech, Ole Miss is a pick'em. Northwestern and Purdue's a pick'em. Oregon State's at Ohio State, minus 31. And San Diego State is at Stanford minus 15. Any of those stand out to you guys?
Well, kind of, but not really. One game that you mentioned, I will be betting it. I will not be betting the line. I will be betting the guaranteed under, and that is Notre Dame, Michigan.
Usual under in that spot.
I'm also going to take the points and come to the FAU.
That's absolutely right. Anything for you, Tom, before I give you my spiel?
No, there were too many of those games. Where's Notre Dame, Michigan?
At Notre Dame.
All right, I'll take the Irish in that one. But I don't feel strongly. We'll see as the season gets closer.
Okay, here we go. Check this out. We got West Virginia minus 8 against Tennessee, neutral site. Give me West Virginia until Tennessee proves they're apt, they're even a football team. This will be the kickoff campaign for Greer and Stills. I think that line gets way higher than 8 by kickoff. Texas is laying 10 at Maryland. Huge revenge spot from last year, but I don't love it. I do love Arizona minus 7.5 against BYU. BYU was horrible last year. Home game, Sumlin first game, they're going to blow the wheels off them. That line will be over 10 by kickoff for sure. And then, of course, Ryan, you're right. FAU plus 21 is the correct pick. The new quarterback for FAU will be Chris Robinson. He will be hard to handle. all year. Former Oklahoma quarterback transfer coming back to Norman, getting three touchdowns against a Baker Mayfield-less deflated Oklahoma team coming off of playoff letdown. Take FAU while you can. Take West Virginia and take Arizona. I probably will forget to listen to this podcast before week one, and all three of them will come in, and I'll bet some other bullshit and lose. So mark that down.
You're definitely not going to forget about Lane Kiffin. He will not allow you to forget.
You're right. He's the one for sure that we will all be wagering. And I just hope that it's still 21 and not like 13.5 come kick, because we'll all be pissed.
We'll be back in August, Dan. We'll do a show before those games. Out of the three of us, one of us will remember.
Absolutely. Okay. That sounds good. So I think thanks for bearing with me, but I think that really puts a good cap on the college football year and sets a good tone for next year. And there's just one last thing to do before we go off the script, and that's officially hand out the Zach Mills Award for 2017, officially, on the podcast. We talked about it off air, but briefly, the Zach Mills Award is given to the quarterback who begins his career pretty good, but tails off every year to the point where he fades off into oblivion, never to be seen or heard from again. This year's nominees for the Zach Mills Award are JT Barrett, quarterback, Ohio State. Anu Solomon, quarterback, Baylor Bears / Arizona Wildcats. Who else we got? Is it just those two?
It's just those two.
Kyle Allen.
Kyle Allen, correct. Quarterback, Texas A&M / Houston / on the bench. And then there's a fourth guy. I don't know his name, but he started a game. What the hell? What team was this? Okay, this is Oregon State. He started a game for Oregon State on a Saturday. He dropped out of college on Monday and transferred on a Tuesday. That happened this year in college football. I swear to God in my life.
What year is he?
I don't know. He's gone. I think he was like a junior or sophomore. I was one of the two.
I think he was a sophomore.
Okay, so he'll be up for next year. You have to be a junior or above, and preferably a senior to win this award. Because you have to show steady decline throughout your years.
You're right. You know, he's not eligible yet. But in hindsight, I'm guessing that was the easiest game to bet of all last year, knowing the quarterback was transferring in 48 hours. That being said, my winner for the Zach Mills Award this year is going to be Anu Solomon from a prized Arizona recruit, putting up 350, 400 total offensive yards, to leading the post-Art Briles Baylor Bears to losses as a 3-touchdown favorite on multiple occasions before being benched and having Baylor begin to cover games and ultimately win without him. So for me, it's Anu Solomon, unless you want to argue for JT Barrett being even worse, even though it's close.
Ryan, do you want to make an argument?
I would like to, but I'm not going to, because this is the correct answer. As much as I like to rag TJ Barrett, this was the correct answer. JT Barrett, the
that's a good sign that he slipped. You don't even remember.
Same thing.
I would like to do something now, Dan. I told you I wanted to this is impromptu, by the way. This is not planned, just so you know. I had told you I wanted to say something about the show This Is Us later on. And it just occurred to me, I can't let this go by without saying a few words about JT Barrett. So I'm going to combine these two ideas into one thing. This Is Us is a show I've never seen. Everybody I work with says it's awesome and they cry at every episode. I have not seen it. I might never see it. I am convinced long ago I used to talk about reality shows with you guys, and I would say you can make anything sound dramatic if you just put a Coldplay song underneath it. Like, you can just have two people talking and being super normal, and then you just play a Coldplay song, and all of a sudden it seems like the most dramatic thing ever. I'm convinced this is what's happening on This Is Us, that it's just an okay show with really good music underneath all of it. So to test my theory, I am going to give a tribute to the career of JT Barrett. I've got some musical backing, And you guys tell me at the end if I've made this super dramatic or not. So we all remember JT Barrett. He came to Ohio State 4 years ago, and what a year, Dan. He lost to Virginia Tech early on, and people said, who's this new guy? I don't want anything to do with him. This is the Ohio State University. We need superstars here, not guys who are going to lose to Virginia Tech by 15 points in week two. But JT Barrett showed everybody who was boss. He came back. He was invited to New York for the Heisman ceremony. He was a superstar. People thought he was going to win the Heisman, but what happened? He went down, Dan. He got injured. They had to go to another guy named Cardale Jones, and we all know how that worked out. He didn't come to play school. He came to win that national championship. Could they have won it with JT Barrett, Dan? We may never know, but we knew going into his sophomore year that JT Barrett was the next superstar at the University of Ohio State. Unfortunately, Cardale Jones chose to stick around, and we had ourselves a little QB controversy. They didn't know who was good. Everybody said Cardale won the championship, so he's the guy. Well, he didn't play great. Then they put in JT Barrett. Well, he didn't play too great either. And Ohio State had a little problem in 2015, losing to Michigan State and not even making the playoff. And we had figured, well, it's a couple years from now, but JT Barrett's going to be our superstar favorite for the Zach Mills Award, Dan. He's got it locked up. And his junior year, sure enough, he proved us right. Even though he made the playoff, he had one of the most epic playoff losses in the history of the playoff. Probably the worst playoff game ever. Out in your territory. Out in Tempe. Here's where the music kicks in. Oh, no. I've forgotten my Coldplay. It kicks in later. Anyway, we thought, oh, JT Barrett sucks. He's definitely going to win the Zach Mills Award. And then what did he do? He played pretty well this year. He beat Penn State pretty much single-handedly. He beat Michigan. He played pretty well. And even though the season didn't end the way Ohio State had hoped it would, they still did pretty decent. Decent enough to play himself out of the Zach Mills Award. Dan, the greatest upset in Zach Mills history. I vote for Anu Solomon. Do you want to continue this? Tell us about Anu Solomon and why he deserves this award.
He got worse every year.
He didn't just get worse, though, Dan. He got so bad that he transferred to Baylor, a team in scandal that literally we could have played quarterback there, and he still couldn't stay on the field.
He simply is your Zach Mills Award winner, Tom. There's nothing else that needs to be said. It's self-explanatory for that.
All right. We're definitely going to get sued by Chris Martin.
Yep.
I signed up for that.
Yeah.
Cool. We're good.
You got to fade out. This is where the credits of This Is Us comes in.
See, that was excellent. I wasn't expecting that. Good work.
That's my point with This Is Us. Take away the soft Coldplay music, and we'll see what kind of show we've got.
Impressive work, Tom. So there you go. A new Solomon winner, Zach Mills Award. College football 2017 officially over February 5th, 2018. We extended the year.
Well deserved. I think this is the biggest upset in Zach Mills Award history and of any award. I mean, we gave out tons of awards the last 4 years. This year, we're like, there's only one award that deserves to be given out.
We got rid of all the other awards and just went with the one.
I think so, yeah. We'll come back with a full award show next year.
Maybe not. No guarantees.
Probably not. Yeah, we don't know what's going to happen next year. This will be, by next year, this is just going to be a podcast where we talk about Syracuse stories from growing up. There will actually be no college football. Then we'll predict a couple of like Pac-12 games, and then I'll pick like one Conference USA game I like.
Perfect. Sounds good to me.
Then by 2020, it's all high school football.
Can't wait. California.
Anything else?
I think that's it for college football. What do you want to talk about on the side?
I just did a JT Barrett rant, so I'll let you guys talk about X-Files or whatever suits your fancy.
Yeah, I got a question. I got a question for you, A.D. Skinner.
Okay, time out. Before you ask the question, for the next 2 minutes, you can ask me any question pertaining to the X-Files or college football or life, and I'll answer it, or about me as A.D. Skinner. I'll answer any questions you want as A.D. Skinner.
Oh, God.
Ryan, you can start.
Walter, I know that smoking son of a bitch was in here. I could smell him in the room. But the real question is, in 25 years in the Bureau, how the hell are you still Assistant Director Skinner? Where the hell is your promotion, and who owns you?
Look here, Agent Mulder. I'll be the one to ask questions. Everyone needs a good number two. Not everyone's said to be a number one. I got a good life here. Linda loves it. The kids are happy. Have you been to Lake Winnipesaukee, Agent Mulder? We go up there every summer for our anti-alien time with the kids. And I get away from the stress and the cigarettes and the Bureau. I got a question for you, Agent Mulder. How did Kevin Sumlin end up in Tucson and not in Tempe? There were news reports saying it was locked up. I have evidence, just like World Trade Tower number 7. There was reports that said Kevin Sumlin was coming to Arizona State. Now we got Herm Edwards. He hasn't coached college football since 1986. In 1986, you know where the Bureau was? Granada. You know what was going on in Granada? Aliens. Okay, Agent Mulder. So why don't you ask yourself these questions before you come with me and ask why I'm an assistant? The director's strong. It's not my fault he got promoted at 38. He's only 63 now. He's 2 years away from retirement. I put in my time with the Bureau. That's all I got. Okay, that's
A.D. Skinner, I would like you to tell us about what happened with the Yellow store in Syracuse.
You know, not every business needs a name, Agent Scully, okay? First of all, the IRS has a problem locating you if you don't have a storefront name or phone number. I stopped using phones in 87, okay? And that's something the Yellow store also did. These video games are 3 for $15 or 4 for $18, and you don't need to know where I got them from. You don't ask the questions. The price is non-negotiable, okay? 3 for $15, 4 for $18. I don't care if the game doesn't fucking work. That's on you.
How come you sell used games and yet they're still in the original plastic wrapping?
It's not the original plastic wrapper, Agent Scully. We rewrap the plastic afterwards to give you the effect that they're actually clean. You don't want to know where I got these games, okay? But they're 3 for $15 or 4 for $18, or unless you're Dan Sr., because technically this is on the Ross Steele property and we let you run this shack illegally. It's a little bit less. Like, he just says, I have X dollars in my pocket, and you say yes. That's the other negotiating tool. And there's no receipts or exchanges, in case you're wondering.
No, but if you need to find, you know, like a really obscure Mudhoney cassette.
I got it.
It's in a bin somewhere. There's no labeling system, so you're going to have to dig for a while. But if you really need to have that Sonic Youth or that Mudhoney, they got it on cassette.
Yeah, they also have like a Mortal Kombat 3 the day after Mortal Kombat 2 comes out, when Mortal Kombat 3 hasn't even been designed yet. They've got it for $4.
Yes,
for all our listeners, somehow. I'm not even going to bother to explain what the Yellow store is. This is going to be this is the Area 51 of Syracuse.
Yep, no name, no phone number, no receipts, all cash, no cards. No real store hours, open when the guy isn't sleeping in the back. That's it.
How many times,
Dan, everyone knows it.
How many times have you gone to the Yellow store and gone in and there was just nobody, like no employees to be found.
4 to 7 times.
Tons of customers. Least. Like you wanted to buy something and you couldn't because there was nobody there.
That it wasn't a real store. It was like a, half like old school, like, you know, I think, I'm pretty sure that like he accepted money or other stuff. Like you could trade and barter.
Yeah, you could trade in your used video games for their used video games.
Yeah.
Which were not actually used. They were just off the back of a truck.
If you were just a Brooklyn Pickle and you had half a corned beef sandwich left, you could trade that for Street Fighter 2, but it only worked for 15 minutes before it skipped. So that was kind of the trade-off.
Yeah, you could only play as Sonya or whatever.
Yep. You can only play as Ryu, but not Ken. Ken it locked up, but Ryu worked fine.
Any other questions for AD Skinner? I'm enjoying this. This could be our new podcast.
The Bureau, you send them right here. You know what? We might do AD Skinner's Corner next year every week where you just ask me one question, where I just get to answer one question about life. We'd be like, hey, I got a question for you, AD. It's like, me and my wife are expecting, what's the best way to house-proof the home? Like, and I'll answer it and be like, call Michael Krychek. That's the first thing you need to do when you think about protection. Like, you know, like.
So every week next week, we're going to have the AD Skinner game of the week. And Dan's going to have to analyze and break down the game as AD Skinner.
I'll do it.
Every week we're doing an AD Skinner game of the week. And it's the game that's most likely to feature aliens.
He's probably my favorite TV character ever, I think, at this point, because he hasn't changed in 25 years. And he's like, I kind of work for the government, but not really. Like, and for 30 years as the assistant director. It's just A+ TV.
Yeah, he really deserves that promotion.
Real life. Yeah, he's the best real life character. Randy Marsh is still the greatest TV character of all time.
Probably right there. He's 1 and 2. Right.
Do you have thoughts on the new X-Files season as yourself?
Really good episode this week.
It's actually a lot better than the last year's little 6-episode weird hiatus or, you know, whatever that was. Yeah, I mean, I've been entertained by these episodes. I mean, there was that one goofy one, but this week's was really good with Scully's kid and whatever. I mean, I'm happy when I'm at work Wednesday knowing I'm coming home to watch the new X-Files, but I really don't care. Like I act like I'm 14 again. I'm like, ooh, new X-Files night. Like, it's real. It's pretty pathetic. My girlfriend hates it. And it makes it even better.
Oh, it's fantastic. My dad texts me like in real time. He's like, you watching this? I'm like, Dad, I have DVR. I don't watch anything in real time that's not sports.
You know what? I should take off the freaking show finale to watch it in real time. Just like it was back in our day. Like, all right. Homework's got to be done by 8 because the X-Files is coming.
Yep.
Yeah, and I'm coming over, Dan, and we're going to watch it, and we're going to pull up the laptop and put my dad on Skype. We're going to watch the finale of X-Files with him in real time.
See, you can't use Skype if you want this to be realistic. First, you have to go to McDonald's and get the 49-cent cheeseburgers. Then you have to go and call your dad on the landline.
Hmm.
I could do that. Although he had a cell phone super early. He had one really early. So what I used to do is I would just call from the collect from the payphone and just say Joe Smith, and he would say, no, I don't accept the charges, and then he would know to come pick me up.
Yep, that was the Camillus Middle School lacrosse trick. I used to do that all the time. This is a collect call from, it's Tom, lacrosse practice is done, come get me. I do not accept. Bye.
Every time.
Ours was actually basketball practice. We always had carpool systems for lacrosse. For basketball is when we never knew when we were going to be done.
So I want to talk about Justin Timberlake for a minute, if we got time.
Yeah, we'll finish with this.
So he played the Super Bowl halftime. I'm sure you guys probably saw it. I think we can all agree, not great. Yeah, Dan's giving the thumbs down. Pretty bad, you know, even compared to, you know, we've given up on having like a great halftime show that we like, you know, and I think we've even given up on having like a you know, any rock band. Like, we're not even going to get U2 or Foo Fighters or some big popular band. It's going to be a pop star every year. But even by the standards of the last few years, I feel like this one was pretty lackluster. And that makes me happy because JT came out in an all camo suit. And you know how these things influence trends. If he did a great job and I had to see a bunch of guys wearing camo suits for the next like 5 years, that was not going to go well.
Camo suits.
Can you imagine if his performance was great and all of a sudden everyone's wearing camo suits everywhere?
That would be brutal.
So his new album's called Man of the Woods. And I saw that and I was like, this has to be some kind of metaphor, right? Like, we're so addicted to technology. You got to take some time away. The woods is a metaphor, right? Nope. I looked into it. There literally are just songs about him being in the woods. Yep. One of them is just about him having survival gear in case there's a zombie apocalypse. Then some girl can come over because he's got all the gear. That's one song. There's another one where called Man of the Woods. That's just about being a man of the woods. Like there's not much metaphor. It just sounds like Bruno Mars mixed with a little country. And there's like no deeper level to it. Real mail-in job.
Tom, I'm glad you brought him up real quick because sure. I'm going to go ahead and say something. Until further notice, they should just let the Super Bowl halftime just be Bruno Mars every year. I don't even like the guy. But obviously everyone else does. He puts on a show. He collaborates with everybody. It's like having a younger Pitbull, a less annoying younger version of Pitbull.
Fair point.
And I agree. And that's really what they need. Until Dancer further showman. Notice, let him be in charge. He can bring people in. He can do it himself. He's running the show from here on out.
I'm all for that. I thought Lady Gaga's was good too, but now she's got a fibromyalgia or something, so she's probably out.
Are there betting odds yet on who it's going to be next year at the Super Bowl halftime? Can we start getting bets in on that or what?
What would be each of your? Let's end the show this way. You get to plan the halftime show of the Super Bowl. It can be any artist. They have to be alive. Any combination of artists. Whatever you want to do.
Well, we already know the answer to this.
Not for the public. For you. You can say, fuck everyone watching. I want to see, like, you know, Radio Department just play.
I want to see Tame Impala's Kevin Parker, who... Or just him as Tame Impala, but he can bring on everyone who he works with, from Sia to Lady Gaga, Mark Ronson, to all those people, get them on stage with him while playing a couple Tame Impala fucking awesome synth jams, and it's a win-win. You get the rockers and all the pop people, too.
That's good.
My vote is also in the same vein. I was going to say... In appreciation of the viral ad campaign for the country of Australia, which was phenomenal, by the way, that they did for like 2 months. They did these teasers to make it look like they were going to make a Crocodile Dundee remake, and really it was just an advertisement for Australia tourism. Brilliant. Let's just go ahead and stay in that part of the world, and just it should just have all the Australian and New Zealand bands right now. So it should be Tame Impala, Courtney Barnett with Kurt Vile, and Unknown Mortal Orchestra. Just put them on. Just let them do their thing. Right now, they're doing the best music out there that I like.
Danny P, give us a closing shot. Feel free to do it as yourself or as AD Skinner.
Wow, that's a lot of pressure. I'm not going to do it as AD Skinner. I'll save that for later. But I will say one college thing I forgot to mention. Oklahoma State scored Hawaii's quarterback as a graduate transfer, so it looks like he'll start next year for the first. Mike Gundy, who is 40 and is a man, and would like to wish Tom Z a happy birthday on being 40 years old on his fake ID.
So, oh, yes, that's true. Happy Thomas 40th. Thomas Conlon of Vermont just turned 40. Oh,
Tom Conlon, Vermont, 40 years old. Happy 40th, you're a man.
Thank you. When I actually turn 40 in real life, I'm going full on Gundy. I'm getting the orange shirt. I'm getting the visor. might grow the mullet, like, although he didn't have it back then, but I might do that just for effect. I'm going to carry the newspaper around and just, I'm going to carry a huge newspaper and randomly throw pages throughout the day.
You see this crap? You just walk up to everybody. You see this? It's crap.
I am a father of children.
It's crap.
That's okay. Why I don't read the newspaper, because it's garbage. And whoever wrote it is garbage. And the editor who let it out is garbage. And the
you're garbage.
The assistant proofreader is garbage. And the ad sales representative is garbage. I wish he just kept going and named everyone at the newspaper.
So yes, happy 40th, Tom Conlon.
Thank you. On behalf of my fake persona, I say thank you very much. All right. The end. Thanks, everybody. I don't know if we'll be back for another one, perhaps. There's been talk of another bonus podcast throughout the off season.
Yeah.
Maybe after post NFL draft, maybe let's do one.
We promise nothing here at this show, but subscribe on iTunes and maybe you'll see something. Good night, everyone.
Tom and I are going to do a bonus Bills podcast.
That's not going to happen.
But, Dan's going to sign off. That's going to be a whole different night.
That's it. That's it.
Later, gentlemen.
All right.
Later.
Goodbye.
I confuse all 4 years of college could just be one big jumbled mess. I don't remember any of it.
I had a problem for a long time with high school acquaintances and college acquaintances remembering who was from where. Like, I saw Megan at the bar in Syracuse. I'm like, oh yeah, Marist College. And she's like, what? We were in AP Bio together. It's like, oh, right.
I can't name more than 15 people we went to high school with. I'm horrible. Just the worst ever.
I remember you guys.
You guys. There was that other dude, and that was it. Take the point.